Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I desire to please God. I desire to worship God. I desire to be a part of God's kingdom. I desire to follow Him. I desire to worship Him. I desire to come to God's house. And it is amazing how fulfilling that is. And so I have to thank God even for the desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Having said that, I'm glad I'm here. And I know the Bible said that God has not given us a spirit of fear. There is absolutely a spirit of fear in this world. It's worldwide. People are afraid. And the cure might be worse than the disease, because the spirit of fear has found its launching place, its place of attachment, and people are living in fear. But friend, when you know what I know about God, and you know God like I know God, I know that God is always good. I know that God is always near. I know that God always makes a place of safety for those that have desire. Always has. Even if you were in Egypt as a Hebrew, God had a place called Goshen for you. And there might be plagues all around, but Goshen didn't have. There's always a place of safety. It might rain 40 days and 40 nights, but there is a place of safety. Always. There's always the Father's hand. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and they that run into it are safe. Praise God. It's a safe place. God's always got a place of safety. And I find that God's place of safety today is not only His Word, His Spirit, but it's also His church. God places tremendous emphasis on His church, which He calls the body of Christ, which He calls the bride. He places tremendous emphasis on gathering together. And I know a lot of people are fearful and they're staying home. But friend, you've got to actually examine yourself if you're going to AGB but you're not going to church. If you're going to Walmart but you're not going to church. If you're going to vote but you're not going to church. If you're sending your kids to school but you're not bringing them to church. It's time for you to examine yourself and say, where is my desire? Where is my desire? Praise God, I desire to be in God's house. But whether the crowds are small or big, no matter what happens, I always receive in God's house. And I'm strong and I'm excited. Praise God. And God has been phenomenal in the last 7 or 8 months in my life. He has shown Himself strong. When the Lord shows Himself strong, you know what that says to you? It means the Lord's looking at you. Because the Bible said His eyes are going to and fro to show Himself strong. And so if the Lord shows you Himself strong in your life, you say, hey, the Lord's looking at me. The Lord's looking at me. And when God looks at you, good things happen. Amen. Would you stand with me? It's wonderful to be in God's house, and I am glad to have my sister Sandy with me tonight, and her husband Don. Don is just a wonderful guy. I mean, I've known him most of my life, and I've known Sandy all my life. She's just a little bit older than I am. And she is one of the toughest people I know. 20 years ago, nearly, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she beat cancer back. If you ever meet cancer and you see scars all over cancer's face, Sandy put them there. She's tough. Praise God. And she's done it the right way. She's done it by all the medical help she could get, but she's done it by reading the Word of God, by staying faithful to God. She works as a church secretary, and she's never quit working, just keep going to church. And working, praise God, and listening to the Scripture and getting books and studying them. Friend, I want to tell you, it's not always easy to have faith, but it's always rewarding. Faith works. Amen? Look at somebody and say, faith works. Standing down there, I'm so glad you're here. And like Pastor Brandon says, you always come to church when you're here, because we stay really mad when our family's in town and they don't come to church, and we talk about them awful. And people claim to be Christians. What are they? Let's turn to the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My subject for the last time on this series, imposing the will of God on the devil, part 4. You may be seated. If anyone thinks that this mess that we're living in this pain that we are enduring, this sickness we see, the hatred that is happening, the endless list of problems that's in this world is the will of God, then you simply don't know the God that I know, nor do you know the God that the Bible talks about, because he is a good God. And all of this is not God's will. And to confess that it is to make a railing accusation. And remember, the star in Job's crown was, in all of this, all of his trials, he did not accuse God falsely. God hates for you to say, God gave me this cancer, or God made me poor, or God caused the car wreck. God does not want you to blame him for bad things. He wants you to praise him for good things. And so the will of God, Jesus told us to pray in this Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Does it make sense to you that Jesus would ask us and instruct us to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, if the will of God was being done? The will of God is seldom done on this earth. The Bible teaches us that the devil is the prince of air. The Bible teaches us that he said, where have you been? He said, coming and going on this earth. The Bible teaches us that he goeth about as a roaring lion. We know that in Christ he was totally defeated, but I have told you that the devil is in a lame duck session. He's been voted out. He's been executed. All of his powers have been taken away. But he still operates on the power of doubt and fear that humanity affords him. But friend, even though the will of God is not being done on the earth, I can tell you that you, as a born-again, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking Christian, have the ability to impose the will of God in your circle, in your world, and on your adversary, the devil. And all of heaven applauds when you give God the opportunity to be your God. God wants to be your God. He wants to be your God. He wants to do mighty, miraculous things in your life. It was not the will of God. If the will of God was being done, Jesus would not have told us to pray like he told us to do. That's the reason why Jesus enjoined us to pray. Two things. Number one, God's kingdom come. Number two, God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. To impose God's will on anything, we must know what the will of God is. I'm giving you a little refresher course on the last 3 weeks. I talked in an earlier session about the authority of prayer to literally impose the will of God on the devil. I talked in the next session about the power of praise to totally subdue the devil. Today I want to talk and conclude the series by talking about the authority of the written word of God to impose the will of God in your life on the devil. In the beginning was the Word. It all started with the Word. The Bible said in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. The Bible teaches us that the Word literally created all of this. I find great solace in that. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He simply said, let there be. And when God said, when his word went forth, things were created. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, if you get to the place of understanding that the word of God can create in you a life that anybody would desire, a life that is victorious, a life that is overcoming, a life that is totally diverse and different from the world all around you. It is an oasis in the middle of all the hatred and all of the debauchery that the devil is wreaking on this world. You can have an oasis. You can have a Goshen. You can have an ark. You can have a Lord's hand. You can have a place. You can have a tower. But you do it through the power of God's word. Jesus was the literal word of God manifest, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The written Word of God, let me say it slowly, the written Word of God supersedes everything on earth. The written Word of God. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 138:2, "And I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy name, thy word above all thy name." The name of Jesus Christ is paramount in the mind of God and in the kingdom of God. But he said, "I've exalted my word above my name," because your name only becomes important based on your word. It doesn't matter what you say. If you are a liar, it doesn't matter what your name is. There's no use to name drop people that are liars, because they will lie to you and will deceive you. I used to have a friend, a wonderful guy. He helped me here in the church when I was first starting, but he had one problem, that he would promise more than he could deliver. You went to him and said, "Look, I don't have a house to live in." He'll say, "I'll have you a house by tomorrow." But tomorrow you were going to be very disappointed. It wasn't because that he didn't desire to do it. It was because he did not have the ability. The word of God is God's ability to perform. So he's exalted his word above his name, and that's what makes the name of Jesus Christ all-powerful. That's what causes the name of Jesus Christ to summon angels. It's what causes the name of Jesus Christ to rebuke devils, because it represents the word that is the creator, that infallible written word of God. For God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. His name is all powerful because of the integrity of his word. These are two truths that cannot be any way dismissed. Wherefore God, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Two immutable things. Immutable. Impossible to change. That's what that word means. Impossible. You can't alter it. Two immutable things. Number one, God cannot lie. You can't change that. And the second thing is that God's counsel is always perfect. It's never, ever altered. It's never reversed. It's never added to. Those two immutable things. God's word cannot return void. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it, imposing the word of God on the devil. Since Jesus Christ was the incarnation of the word, he could not return to heaven, because he was the word, until he accomplished. And he accomplished everything. He lived a sinless life, died on the cross for my sins and your sins, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and the devil himself. And then he said, "Why sit ye here gazing? I'm going away. I can return as the word, because I've accomplished what the Father has sent me." Imposing the word of God on the devil. Executing the word of God. I've talked in the past about that word execution. The word of God. Executing the word of God. The written word, number one. This is point number one. The word of God, the written word, must prevail over all else. It has to in the world. It has to in the universe. It has to in your life. If the word of God is not prevailing over everything in your life, you will not have much victory in your life. Jesus Christ, remember, was the word. But when the devil came to him, and he said, "Turn these breads to stone." What did Jesus do? Jesus said, "It is written." Friend, if you don't know the word of God, you're not going to be able to impose the will of God on the devil. The devil will run over you like a Mack truck squashing a bug. But friend, if you know the word of God, there's always a word to say that will bring you victory. Always word. But you got to know the word of God. You got to know the word of God. And most Christians are totally ignorant of the word of God. And saying, "Don't it say over there somewhere," does not carry the same emphasis as saying, "It is written." You must know the word of God. Pastor Brandon said something the other day that I've never heard anybody put in words before, but it's so powerful that meditation is more powerful than memorization. Because you can memorize without meditating, but you can't meditate without memorizing. But when you meditate, when you get that word of God, when the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. What is that standard he raises? It's the word of God. And the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, take no thought of what you're going to say in that hour, but the Holy Ghost will bring you the word. But friend, if you don't have the word in you, the Holy Ghost can't do it. It has to bring it out. And so Jesus, three times when he was tempted, said, it is written. It is written. And I can promise you, if you will become learned in the word of God, and you get to the place when the devil comes in to attack you, and you can say, it is written, you will have power. One of the greatest fears the devil has is the word of God. The Bible said when you hear the word of God, that Satan comes in immediately to steal that before you can meditate on it, before you can own it. Friend, there's one thing to read the word of God. It's another thing to own the word of God and say, I know what the Bible said. And so the word of God is superior to everything in the whole universe. It's not feeling. When people say, well, I feel, it don't matter how you feel. Simply does not matter. The devil said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, I don't feel like that would be something that I want to do right now. That would have had no impact. It's not feeling. It's not opinion. It's not I think. It's not dreams. It's not visions. It's not the way that seemeth right to the masses. It is the word of God. And that's the only thing that matters. Somebody said, well, things are different. I understand, you know, I don't think that you ought to criticize somebody's love for another person. And you don't have the right to do that just because they're the same sex and you don't approve of that. It doesn't matter what I think. I don't even have an opinion about it. It doesn't matter what my feeling is. It's what does the Word of God say? The Word of God is the most superior thing in the universe. It always has been, and it always will be. Number two, the word must be written in the heart before it can prevail over the devil in your life. You've got to get it in your heart. Why was David declared the man after God's own heart? Because he was a great worshiper. But why was he a great worshiper? Because he had hidden the word of God in his heart. And some people say, well, I don't worship like some people do. You don't have the word of God hidden in your heart, because if you get the word of God hidden in your heart, it transcends everything else, and it releases worship. It just begins to transmit, whether you don't have to think about it. Friend, there's a place where you can get in God where you don't have to think and you don't have to plan, but praise God, it's just response. It's just automatic. Hallelujah. You worship God before you ever think about, I need to worship God. You quote a verse before you ever know. Why? Because you've hidden the word of God in your heart. That's the reason why David was the man of God after God's own heart. The word have I hidden in my heart. This is the covenant. I will make thee after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. After you receive the Holy Ghost, it will lead and guide you. And the way it does it is by inscribing the word of God as you study it. And praise God. My daddy, when we go out to work in the morning, he'd say, eat some of this. It'll stick to your ribs. But you didn't even want to eat the stuff he wanted. It was something out of the refrigerator we'd had night before. You say, oh, you talk about white privilege. This ain't white privilege right here. When your daddy reaches in the refrigerator and takes some navy beans that are congealed from the cool of that and spreads it out on a piece of bread, and then he reaches in there and gets some apple butter and spreads on top of that and folds it up, and he said, here, take this. We'll eat it for lunch. It'll stick to your ribs. Friend, I went hungry. I literally went hungry. There's a lot of people going hungry because they won't take the word of God. Friend, when you get the word of God and you get it imprinted on your heart, what did David say? Somebody said, well, I just can't resist. I fall into sin. Why? Because the word of God is not hidden there. He said, I'll hide the word of God that I will not sin against God. You've got to have something greater than your willpower, something greater than your Sunday school lapel pin, something greater than your opinion, something greater than, I think everybody knows. You've got to have something great. It's the Word of God, the infallible Word of God, the Word that created this universe, the Word of God that is eternal. And it's not only to have it committed to memory, you've got to have it indelibly imprinted on your heart. So praise God, it just comes bubbling out. And when the devil comes up against you, you can say, just like Jesus, it is written. Friend, I promise you that if your number one attack area is suddenly filled with the Word of God, the devil will quit attacking you in that area. The devil's like everybody else. He don't like to lose. The devil doesn't like to be embarrassed. The devil runs in a pack. He's got a posse. And friend, when you can embarrass the devil time after time after time in front of his demons, after a while he'll find somebody else. But you can't do that with your opinion and your idea. But if you get to the place where you can just stand there and smile at the devil and say, devil, it is written. I'm not turning these stones to bread. I'm not jumping off the temple. I'm not jumping off the mountain. Praise God, because it is written. And when you know what is written, you know the will of God. Christ knew the will of God from his birth to his death. And friend, when you know the will of God through the Word of God, you become super strong in faith and you just beat the devil up every day. Nobody likes to be beat up. Number three, the Word must be meditated on to prevail. You can't just read it. The Bible's not a novel. The Bible's not just something you read like you did the Archie comic books when you was a little boy. I used to love those things, man. I always hated to get my hair cut, but I loved to go to the barbershop because they had comics. But friend, it's not a comic book. It's not a TV program. It is the power of the universe. But friend, you must meditate it. The Bible said, but a delight in the law of the Lord. There's something wrong with people that don't like to go to church, and there's something wrong with people that don't like to read the Word of God. And you can talk about being a Christian all you want to, but if you don't like to attend God's house, and you don't like to read his word, you might not fool the preacher, but you're deceiving yourself. Because, friend, when you fall in love with God's word and God's house, it tells you that there is something there. And so he said he delights in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. I like to sleep through the night one time. I wake up every night, 3:30 in the morning. I woke up. When was it? This is Wednesday. It was Monday night. I woke up, been Tuesday morning, Monday night. I woke up at 3:30. I just want to go back to sleep. But I lay there for about 30 minutes, and finally I got up and went down in my office, and just as fast as I could type, which is not very fast, I took 3 years of typing, and I still can't type very fast. I make lots of errors. But anyway, as fast as I could type, I was just typing stuff God was giving me. And when I looked up, I started at 4 o'clock. When I looked up, it was after 8 o'clock, and just as fast as I could go, and I really wanted to be sleeping. And I drug around for 3 or 4 hours. I was so tired because I had been deprived of my sleep. But, friend, I had something better than sleep. I had new revelation, new illumination. I had the Word of God. It's the most exciting thing in my life. And the Bible said, if I'll meditate day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Friend, you know the difference between a tree that's planted by the water? It means all the droughts come, and you can look around and you can see old dead dry trees everywhere, but there'll be one tree. It'll be as green. And people said, why? Because it's got roots in the river. It doesn't matter what's happened in this world. If you become a real meditator in the Word of God, if you delight in the Word of God, you'll have green leaves and everybody else has got bare branches. You'll have fruit when everybody else has no fruit. Everything you do will prosper. People say that to me all the time. I've got preacher friends. Everything you do works. Friend, if you follow God's plan and you put the Word of God first in your life and you will throw down your opinion, that's the hardest thing you've got to do, is realize it don't matter what your opinion is. When I feel like so, it don't matter what my feeling is. A long time ago, God helped me to realize that my feelings, as strong as they are, and my opinions, as sharp as they might be, simply do not matter in comparison with the Word of God. And many times I've said out loud to the Lord, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I believe it because it's your Word. I understand the principle of the Word of God. It's the most superior force in the universe. It's yea and amen. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the denomination says. It doesn't matter what the president says. It doesn't matter what your professor says. It's what saith the Word of God. And so I meditate on the Word of God day and night. And friend, I'm going to tell you what. You can take the Word of God to the bank. You can put the Word of God on your table and cut it up with a knife and fork. It will put clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, a car in your garage. You will prosper. The Word of God will prevail if you learn to delight in it and if you learn to meditate. Number four, the Word must be in thy hand to prevail. Now, we all know that you hide the Word of God in your heart. But look what it says in the 149th Psalm. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's no stronger human being on the face of the earth than somebody that's got a praise in their mouth and the Word of God in their hand. What does that mean, the Word of God in their hand? And you can have it. You say, Pastor, I love you so much, and I really want to give something to you. I'd like to give you a $100 bill right now. It's all in your heart, but it hadn't helped me a bit until you get it in your hand. Friend, that's what he means when this two-edged sword is in your hand. The two-edged sword, the Bible said the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the two-edged sword he's talking about in your hand, he's talking about where you get it out of your heart and you literally get it in your life. It becomes a part of your action. Everything you do is predicated on the Word of God. You speak in the Word of God. You act in the Word of God. Before you take a step, you say, this is what the Word of God wants me to do. It literally becomes a weapon, a weapon. Friend, it's not just in your heart. Christianity lives on platitudes. They talk about what they believe and do nothing. They've got feelings that they talk about that do not in any way transfer into reality. But the Bible teaches us that if we really get this stuff in our spirit, it'll manifest on our faith, it'll manifest in our hands, it'll manifest on our walk, it'll manifest in our talk. Somebody said, well, Christians shouldn't talk like that. It's not a problem like that because it's simply what's going on in your heart. When you curse and gossip and criticize and you're negative, it's not any problem because that's what lives in your heart all the time. So it really doesn't matter. Friend, you got to have a heart change. You got to get the Word of God hidden in your heart. You've got to delight on the Word of God. You've got to understand, I was formulated, created by the Word of God, and I'm going to stand on the Word of God. It's not just in my heart, but praise God, it's in my hand, it's in my mouth, it's everything I do. I'm walking in the Word, I'm talking in the Word, I'm living in the Word, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord said unto him in Exodus 4, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from the Word of God in your hand defeats the serpent every time. The Word of God in your hand. We cannot let truth fall in the streets. You remember the story about Eleazar in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel. The Bible said that the other people had gotten tired. But Eleazar by himself, the son of Dodo, one of David's mighty men, praise God, he took a sword in his hand and he began to fight. And he fought and he fought and he fought and he fought. And finally, when all the Philistines around him were dead, he was still fighting. They had to literally capture him and pry the sword out of his hand. The Bible said his hand cleaved to the sword. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a place to where you don't have to be primed and propped up and you don't have to be scolded. You don't have to be motivated. It comes from within inside. After a while, you shouldn't have to be motivated to praise. You shouldn't have to be motivated to pray. You shouldn't have to be motivated to come to church. It shouldn't take a pie in the face. If you're a kid, it's all right. I'm talking about you big folks. It shouldn't. But if you come, we're going to pass out $100 bills. Oh, I'm going to go. Friend, after a while, it ought to just be in your hand. It ought to cleave to the sword. You say, the Word of God is the reason why I go to church. Why? Because the Bible said he'll meet me there. The Bible said that he'll manifest himself there. That's the reason why I go to church. I understand the Word of God, and I understand, praise God, his promises are loaded. His promises are yea and amen. And when I apply the word of God to my life, it don't matter what's happening in this world. I can have victory. Friend, you need to understand that you're not the rule. You're the exception. Say, well, the whole world's going now. The whole world's not going to. Friend, you are the exception to the rule. Everybody else can fall to the right and the left, but you're still standing. Other people are broke, but you're still blessed. They're depressed, but praise God, you're encouraged. They're fearful, but you're faithful. Why? Because the word of God is inside of you. And the prophet said, the word of God is shut up in my bones like a fire. I'm on fire. You ever just get excited and you don't have no reason? Friend, if you're a Christian, there ought to be times where you just get excited. And the boss hadn't given you a raise, and your husband hadn't bought you a new car for your birthday, and your mother-in-law hasn't ever told you you're the best daughter-in-law she's ever seen. Nothing good has happened around you, but suddenly something inside of you is going on. What is it? It's that creative word of God. Hallelujah. The word of God, like a fire shut up inside of you. Your hand cleaves to the word of God. You use it everywhere. It is victorious. Number five. The word must be nevertheless. That's a big word, nevertheless. You know what that means? The definition for the word nevertheless is in spite of. In spite of. And when he left speaking, he said, Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, in spite of the long night, in spite of the fishless lake, in spite of our tiredness, in spite of the fact that we've already cleaned our nets, in spite of the fact that the fish just ain't biting, in spite of, friend, that's what the word of God is. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't say evidence seen, it says not seen. In spite of. The boss said, you're fired. But praise God, the word of God said, I'm hired for your competitor, and he's going to pay me twice what you were paying me. Friend, we are not subject to the laws of this earth. The laws of this earth are subject to the word of God that is inside of us. And so Peter said, I want to explain it all to you. It's an amazing statement. I have failed. I'm tired. I've toiled. That's exactly where the devil wanted him to be. The devil thought that he had defeated Peter. He thought it was a night where he was totally defeated. He had him where he wanted. He had toiled all night. He was tired. He was fruitless. He had nothing for all of his work. But one word, nevertheless. And when he said that, the devil ran backwards. I don't care what the doctor said. I say nevertheless. In spite of the doctor's report. I don't care what the banker said. In spite of the banker's report. I don't care what my friend said. In spite of my friend. I don't care what my preacher said. Preachers can be wrong. The Pope was wrong the other day. Preachers are wrong. There's no such thing as an infallible Pope. There's no such thing as an infallible, gospel-filled, Holy Ghost-filled preacher. We all make mistakes. But friend, you've got to have the word of God, and you said, nevertheless, I don't care what my pastor said, I'm going to be saved. You might have one of those pastors that's condemning, and he says, you ain't never going to amount to nothing. It don't matter what your pastor said. It don't matter what your husband said, what your wife said. Friend, when you get in the word of God, it is the power to overcome the devil and impose the will of God on the devil. The devil wants you to be a failure. The devil wants you to toil and get nothing. The devil wants you to be worn out and tired and destitute. But friend, if you can just say nevertheless, in spite of everything, I'm coming to church. That's what I do. In spite of everything, I come to church. In spite of everything, I pray. Bad things happen, but they don't last with me. Bad things do not last. Good things last, praise God. I take dominion over them in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call things that be not as though they were. I believe that God is on my side. I confess that I'm gloriously made in His image, that God is my strength. I confess that I am not subdued to the spirit of fear, but I'm overcoming the spirit of fear. I understand there's a mess in this world, but that's not my mess. That's their mess. I'm in the Word of God, and I will prevail. I will overcome, praise God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so I have learned that I can say, nevertheless, I have bad days where I toil and get nothing. But somewhere I'm going to say, nevertheless, nevertheless. And when I do, things are going to change. If you can say, nevertheless, God will give you the instructions that will bring you victory. He said, nevertheless, cast at thy word. He said, okay, I'm going to cast out. If you say that, I'm going to cast out because you told me to. I want to tell somebody in this building right now, you've had some real onslaughts against you, some real problems that have come against you, some real attacks, some real negative situations, and some people have said some real negative things, and people you thought was going to help you have hurt you. It don't matter. If you can say, nevertheless, at thy word, friend, God can turn it around. And let me tell you about God. God can do it so quickly. That's what I find amazing about God. I say, well, this is going to take a while. And I look up, and there it is. Just almost instantly, God turns these things around. There's somebody in this building right now that the devil has come in against you like a flood. But if you would just rise up tonight and say, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to launch out in the deep. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit studying the Word of God. I'm not going to quit worshiping. I'm not going to quit coming to the house of God. There are people all over this city that belong to Living Way are losing right now. They're losing. Well, you're saying they're losing. I'm talking about members of this church. They're losing. Why? Because they've let the spirit of this world dominate their thought, and they've toiled, and they're tired, and they're scared, and they say, these are just tough times. Friend, I want to tell you, these are the best times of our life because my God is still on the throne. He's in the midst of the storm. Praise God. I'm getting ready to take in the biggest draught of fish I've ever taken in my life. Going to have the biggest revival I've ever had. Going to have an overflow of joy like I've never seen. Win more souls than I've ever won. Be blessed in every considerable way. Why? Because I will overcome the devil. And I will subdue the devil by imposing the word of God. And there's not a thing the devil can do about it because God is greater. God is greater. God is greater. His word says I'm an overcomer. His word says I am victorious. His word says I overflow. His word says I will be fulfilled. His word says I am set free. His word said all that I do will prosper. His word said that I shall prevail. I don't care what she says or he says or they say or the devil says. The Lord's word will prevail in my life. Hallelujah. There's three things in the book of Acts. I've always loved this. There's three verses. It said, and the word of God grew, and the word of God multiplied, and the word of God prevailed. Now, those verses are not together. They're in several chapters there. But, friend, if you'll let the word of God grow in your life, it will multiply, and it will prevail. The word of God prevails in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God has prevailed over sin. I'm the righteousness of God. It's prevailed over sickness. I'm in divine health. It's prevailed over poverty. I am prosperous. It's prevailed over depression. I'm filled with joy. It's prevailed over every negative thing. The devil is a liar, and these two things are immutable. God can't lie. His promises are yea and amen. And praise God, his counsel is without fault or alteration. And God has counseled me that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath, that I'm a victor and not a loser, that I'm overcomer and not overcome, in Jesus' name. Can you put your hands up and give God some praise in this house tonight? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God's in this house right now. There's somebody in this building that's been going through a tremendous trial, a tremendous attack. That is the devil trying to take you out. But the reason why he has had such an orchestrated attack on you is you are on the verge and the precipice of the greatest victory of your life, and the devil knows that. The reason why the devil came in against Jesus and began to tempt him, and Jesus said it is written, because the devil knew that Jesus Christ was about to fulfill the will of God in his life. And so he kept trying to tempt him. And the same thing is happening in your life. The will of God is about to be done in your life. And the will of God is what? That you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That means you're saved and you're healthy and you're victorious. And somebody in this building right now, I rebuke the adversary. Let me do it for you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the adversary. Take your hands off of this saint of God.